MZTV.
Greg Davis, our brother, and a pretty smart guy, pretty insightful, always makes great comments here on the channel. He said in the comments yesterday, Martin, since love is the first fruit of the Spirit named by Paul, and as you say, we can't really have joy. Joy is number two. Joy comes on the heels of love, of understanding the love of God toward us. That brings us this settledness. And he said, could we go on there? Could we say that the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, is it a domino thing where one produces another? And I never really thought of that before. And I looked at it, and because this is how I know that the answer is yes, because the last fruit of the Spirit is the first thing that Christians demand that you have. That's how I know that there is a divine order to this fruit. Obviously, these things, well, I guess it's not obvious. It should be. These things are not self-produced. You can't call upon these things out of your own strength. They're a result of the Spirit of God within you. This is not the result of self-effort. In other words, the first fruit, the Spirit being love. Unless God puts love in your heart, unless God sheds his love abroad in your heart, what do you have to give to other people? And the first person you need to love, this sounds corny, but it's true, is yourself. Love your associate, Scripture says, as yourself. You can't love anyone unless you love yourself. And there's another Christian saying I heard one time. There's only about a handful of Christian sayings I ever heard that make sense. And this one said, God doesn't make junk. And God made you. God made you. He knows you. He formed you in your mother's womb. And he doesn't make junk. You may be in a bad way now, but God doesn't make junk. You are extremely valuable in the sight of God. You're a valuable person on this channel. You have the freedom to make any comment you like down here. You can hit the like button. You could not hit the like button. You can subscribe. You cannot subscribe. It's all up to you, but you are welcome here. There's a guy who watches this show every day who doesn't like it. I can't figure out why he watches it every day, except he's becoming addicted to it. Yes, I think that's why. But we welcome everyone here, and you are noble in the sight of God. But it's true that the first person we need to love is ourselves. And so let's look at these fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to have a completely different view of these now after looking at these with Greg's question in mind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. See, this is why I knew that Greg was onto something here, because self-control is the last thing. But isn't that the only thing that Christians push? Even some in the body of Christ, or some who may, it turns out, not be in the body of Christ, pushing for repentance and perfection, pushing you toward a personal responsibility for cleaning up your life. And if you don't clean up your own life and present it to God as a clean life, then he will not bless you, and you're probably not in the body of Christ. You see, there's a big difference between saying that and saying that based on the fact that you're in the body of Christ, based on the fact that God loves you, based on the fact that Christ died for your sins, why don't you behave this way? But Christianity and the gentleman I just mentioned, they put it the exact opposite. Behave this way or God will not favor you. There's a big, big difference. We behave ourselves in the world because of the grace of God shown us, and we know that there is nothing we can do to get out of the favor of God. And that is powerful statement, what I just made. It's not the statement that's powerful. It's the truth of it that is powerful. Is that God looks at us with love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And I see all these fruit as personal and toward God. See, we're used to looking at these. We've been called upon in our Christian, our past Christian life, to look at all these things as going outward. In other words, you have to be kind to other people. You have to be good to other people. You have to be faithful toward other people. How does that work? That one doesn't work so well. You have to be meek toward other people, patient. Be peaceful toward other people. I don't think this has to do, in its core essence here, with other people. I think it has to do with two things, this fruit, with how you look at God and how you look at yourself. And everything else will flow out from that. But it starts personal. Now, I haven't decided yet. I haven't really, if it starts personal and then goes toward God, or if it's toward God and then personal. This is what I think it is. It's a realization of what God has done, and that becomes personal. And you keep working between you and God, and the results will spill over. But first and foremost, this is a personal thing. These fruit of the Spirit are personal between you and God. Many people, even some in the body of Christ, don't think God truly loves them. I've seen a young man on this channel wrestle with this constantly. He's not sure that God loves him. So we would pray for such a person to get a greater dose of the Spirit. Spirit is the power of God. It's not the third person of a Trinity. It's the power of God. It's the manifest power of God. The same Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is the same word used for wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the results of it. You can see the effects of the wind. Likewise, the Spirit of God, the power of God. You can't see it, but you can see the effects of it. And one of the effects of it is love. And you love yourself because you know God loves you. And only then can you love other people. But forget about other people. That's not the key issue here with these fruit. Love and joy. Joy, as I said yesterday, if you didn't watch yesterday's video, you can get past the food tasting and go right to the message of joy versus happiness. Joy is a stable knowing, a stable understanding of your position in God, and that you have a better and permanent place in Him and among the celestials, and that stabilizes you. And it doesn't mean you look all happy. I used to think that a Christian had no business being depressed. A Christian had no business being sad. I'm going to show you some pictures of people who are joyful right now. Okay, here we go. This person is joyful. This person has joy in their heart. This person is joyful. This person is joyful. And this person is joyful. Nah. See, joy doesn't show on the face. Joy is a deep-seated contentment, not with your circumstance necessarily, that would be nice, but it's a deep-seated contentment with God. And knowing that God has a reservation for you among the celestials that is not based on your behavior. You got a verse for that, Martin? Yeah, 2 Timothy 1:9. We are called not in accord with our acts. So that settledness, that joy, that doesn't show on the face, it might, but it's not necessary, comes as a result of love, of understanding that God loves you and you love yourself. And then you take a deep breath and you settle in. So joy is definitely a fruit of love. Love starts everything. Then peace. How can you have peace if you think that you're on probation and that God is watching your every move and basing His opinion of you on your next move? You can't. For this, I want to go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, the chapters 3 and 4 in Romans are about justification by faith. Justification is being declared righteous by God based on nothing you do. God says you are righteous apart from works of law. Why? Because of what his son suffered on the cross for you. Because God built a new humanity. He discarded the old humanity out of Adam, and he built a new humanity through Christ, and now he sees all humanity as justified. And so when God gives you a realization of this, and you realize you're declared righteous, you're just, only then can you have peace. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Being then justified by faith. Now, Paul's recapping the two chapters that went before. I'm reading chapter 5, verse 1. Chapters 3 and 4 were about how God sees you as righteous. You are righteous before God. Nothing can screw that up. You can't screw it up. Satan can't screw it up. Other people's opinions of you can't screw it up. You can't do anything to screw it up because it was based not on your work but on Christ. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only when you realize you are righteous in God's sight can you have peace. That peace is a beautiful thing. And it's a result of knowing the love of God and seeing how that love was expressed through Jesus Christ. Thus, God loves the world that he gives his only begotten son. Thus, God loves the world. John 3:16, of course. And Paul goes into detail about how that love and how that sacrifice resulted in a new creation, a new humanity that you're a part of, and knowing that you cannot screw up. You can't screw up. You can't ruin it. You can't wreck it. You can't get out of it. You cannot sin your way out of it. You cannot. This is not license to sin. It's just saying that even if you do sin, you can't get out of it. Where sin increases, grace superabounds. Romans 5:20, it's a law, the scriptural, spiritual law. That produces peace. So you can see, love, joy, peace. And joy and peace are things we feel. These are feelings. Love is not a feeling, it's an action. And it's an action of God toward us. But joy and peace are feelings. But unless you understand God loves you, the most basic thing, and I don't see how anyone goes to church can truly understand that God loves you, because they're always challenging you. Have we even talked about self-control yet? No. It's way down on the list. But I'm telling you, the Christian world makes self-control, and they don't even think it's a fruit of the Spirit. No, they think it's a fruit of self-effort, because unless you do it, unless you control yourself, unless you get on a program where you don't sin anymore, you're on shaky ground, and you might not go to heaven. In fact, you might go to the bad place. That's what Christians teach. So they don't even teach it as a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a result of the Spirit of God. It is not a result of asceticism or a self-help program or a New Year's resolution. So peace comes through a revelation of the truth. And the most basic truth is that God loves you. And the second most basic truth is that God sees you as righteous because of Christ, through Christ's work. He's the representative man now, not Adam. You switched hands in the middle of the night. You switched hands from Adam to Christ. What did you do? Nothing. You were sleeping. You woke up and, oh, now I'm in Christ. I went to bed. I was in Adam. I woke up. I'm in Christ. I didn't do anything. Exactly right. The night, by the way, was the crucifixion of Christ. You weren't even born yet, and you switched hands. How's that for you didn't have anything to do with it? Romans 5:6, while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. Love, joy, peace, patience. I don't think you're going to hear this anywhere else except on MZTV, because I have a mind of a child with a depth of scriptural understanding based on working in the original languages of the scriptures for 40 years. And I believe this patience love, joy, peace, patience. The fourth fruit of the Spirit is patience with God and patience with yourself. Patience with God. We want God to do everything now. We don't like the rate of our spiritual growth. We want it to happen faster. Well, of course we do. We're human beings. We're a new humanity, but the common denominator between old humanity and the new humanity is what? Yes, humanity. We want everything now. We want to be better people now. Who doesn't want to please God? But who doesn't feel that they fall short of it? Who's in charge of your walk? Who's in charge of your spiritual development? Paul says in another place, we are growing in the growth of God. That's what's happening in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, we are growing in the growth of God at God's pace. So you need patience with God. And that will result in patience with yourself. If you don't have patience with God, you can't have patience with yourself. And if you don't have patience with God and with yourself, how can you have it for anyone else? But I don't see these fruit anymore as outward. In their most basic elements, it's between you and God. The love is between you and God. You get it? God loves you. The joy is the settledness you feel because God loves you. The peace is the state of mind you're in, knowing that you're justified by faith and that God himself gave you the faith. And the patience, the resulting patience, is to, once you realize that this thing is in motion, then you can wait it out. Once you realize that the essential elements are in place, that's what I meant by this plan, this truth is in motion. The essential elements are in place. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose from the dead. You're now justified. Everything's set in place. Your future is already set. Your life is hid with God in Christ. You're not being manifest yet, so you have to be patient. Patience, patience, patience. But it starts with patience toward God. Now, we get to kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you that we're still looking at kindness toward God and yourself. Goodness, thinking good things of God. How can Christians think that God's going to eternally torment people and think at the same time that they have the fruit of the Spirit known as goodness? They think 90% of the world's going to hell and they're good with that. They're not even coming close to having any of the fruit of the Spirit here, really, because they miss the very first one. I'm telling you, everything springs from love. If the love of God can supposedly include his perfect hatred in torturing his enemies in hell forever, then how far do you think you're going to get in the joy, peace, and patience department? Not far. You can pose like you have this fruit. You can talk about it, pretend you have it, but either you have it or you don't. And if it's not starting on the right foundation, knowing the love of God toward his creation, and the love of God for humanity as demonstrated through the crucifixion of Christ that will reach every single lost sheep, then you're not going anywhere. You're stuck. You're not growing. And isn't it strange? Many of us, we left church years ago, some of us more recently than that, but years and years ago, and you talk to your old church friends, and they haven't changed one bit. They are stagnant. They're in the mud. Why? They don't even have the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. They're not sure God loves them because they don't know about the truth of justification. They think they're on probation. They think they have to beg for forgiveness, or like Johnny Green says, repent every 5 seconds to make sure that there's no unrepented sin, because if there is, then you're on shaky ground. They don't have any of that in place. So joy, forget about it. Forget about it. They have that fake Christian smile. But that's what it is. It's fake. You remember the people I just showed you who are joyful? You don't see the fake Christian smile on these people. Yeah, these people know something. Hypothetically, of course. They know something. Think of those people again. And think of them as being members of the body of Christ. They know they're justified. They know that God is faithful to his promises. And they know that God is long-suffering. It might take them a long time. And they know that what he has done with them is true in spite of what they see in the mirror. And yet their life circumstances suck. So they're not very happy. They don't look like happy Christians, but they're not going to fake it. That's why I like these people. They're not going to fake it. I don't know these people. I just picked them randomly. They're not going to fake it. We don't fake it. I don't come in on here and fake anything. It's real. The love is real. It doesn't show. It's not Hallmark love. It's not Valentine's. It's not red roses. It's not love songs on the veranda. It's deep-seated knowledge of God. Be kind to yourself. Be good to yourself. Faithfulness, of course, this has to be toward God. We have no faith in ourselves. So that one looks to me like the exception. But if we send all these things Godward, then they all work. Let's send them all Godward. Kindness. Be kind toward God. Have nice thoughts about God. Now, sometimes that sounds so juvenile and primitive, or like, well, how couldn't we? Oh, there's lots of ways we can't have kind thoughts about God. There's lots of ways not to. The things he puts you through in this world. So kindness toward God. Goodness toward God. Faithfulness toward God. Meekness toward God. God, this is your situation. I'm sorry I tried to dictate it. We want to dictate our situations. We want to tell God what we want. And God wants us to tell him what we want. That's what Paul means when he says, let your requests be made known to God. But then what does he say? Then the peace of God, Philippians 4:6. The peace of God then, which is superior to every frame of mind, will be garrisoning your hearts in Christ Jesus. So you make your requests known, and then it's in good hands. What better hands could you put your request in? And now you have peace toward God. Not because you get what you want. You might, but you might not. But that doesn't matter. It's the peace you have. And that leads to meekness. And then self-control is the last freaking thing on here. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying it's so amusing to me that the Christian world puts that first. And they don't even see it as a fruit of the Spirit. They see it as a fruit of asceticism, concentration, New Year's resolution, Bible resolutions, Wednesday night resolution, Sunday morning resolution, going to the altar resolution. I'm going to change my life. I went to the altar. Now I'm going to change my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. And it's all based on what? The organ music. The oratory of the preacher. The way his voice shakes. Other people going to the front. It's an emotional rush. And from that day forward, you're going to change your life for Christ. No. How about, that's going to last 5 minutes. Maybe 5 days. Could be five. I've heard of some people lasting 5 weeks. How about you just find out about the love of God for the world? How about you just find out what his son did on the cross? That's what he really wants. How about you find out how he killed the old humanity? You're going to give your life to Christ? Really? He already took it, numbnuts. He already took your life. He created a new humanity through the death of his son. He put you to death. I promise I'm going to live a better life for Jesus. First, you got to dig up the corpse. Your old humanity was crucified. New Year's resolutions. I mean, if you think God's waiting for you to keep a New Year's resolution, forget about it. God's, if you want to speak relatively, waiting for you to appreciate what the hell he did through his son for the world, for the universe, what he did with the old humanity. That's why I herald, that's why other people herald, because we've found out through Paul what God did through Christ. Read Romans, read all about it. So all these things, I think it's helpful to look at them as personal and toward God, between us and God. And they, these things then, once they're established in these key areas, they will not be able to help but flow outward to other people. But again, the Christian world would have a start with the other people. Start with manifesting these things. Start with self-control. That's the last thing you need to worry about. And you don't even need to worry about that. Paul said in Philippians 4, 6, don't worry about anything. Self-control will result. See, it's the caboose on the fruit of the Spirit train. Self-control is a result of understanding love, feeling joy, peace, and patience, and having toward God kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness.